Never let it be said I'm not a soothsayer, ladies and gentlemen, but on My Mate Bot Toaster this week, we have Josh Pugh. I interviewed him before the Edinburgh Festival this year, during which time he got nominated for the Big Comedy Award. So, can I just say, I got in there first. It's because of me that he's amazing. It's a bit like when you like an indie band before everyone else. I just want you to know that I really was there with Josh Pugh from the ground up. Well, at least May this year, I think, when we interviewed him. Anyway, it's a great chat. He's a lovely guy, and I knew it was going to go well when he opened the batting with this comment.
And can I just say what a great idea for a podcast this is as well, Tom?
You spotted that the recording had started. Well done, mate. You're an absolute pro. You're an absolute pro.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fyre's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bot Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bot Toaster. Yeah, yeah. My Mate Bot Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Hello, this is My Mate Bought a Toaster, and welcome along. My name's Tom Price, and my guest this week is the fabulous comedian, Mr. Josh Pugh. Hello, Mr. Josh Pugh.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for having me, mate. I've absolute belter come out of my Amazon this week as well.
Oh, yeah?
Just completely coincidentally, I'm sure you'll get to it.
Oh, great. So that's an early sort of, like, that's really teeing up an exciting end to the podcast straight off the bat. That's like going on stage and saying, my last joke is incredible.
Yeah, but then you've lost the trust over the next 19 minutes. By the time that last joke comes, they're not interested anymore anyway.
Well, what we'll do is we'll crack on, but in the back of people's heads, they'll be constantly thinking, is it worth me waiting? Do I hang on? Are we really that close, or shall I just jump off? But I'll be interested to see who's here by the end. We're going right back to your first ever orders on Amazon, which happened in 2008.
Gosh. So so I'm at uni then, I think. Mm-hmm. First year of uni.
Okay. And what were you studying at uni?
So I did like, so it's actually part of a job. So it's a specific course called rehabilitation studies. So I was living at home, so I didn't get the full uni experience.
Oh.
So these would have been going to my parents' address.
Right.
Not a university hall's address, these orders.
And was there the temptation when you were a student but living with your parents to try and get your parents to sort of slip into a sort of young ones, fresh meat kind of vibe, make them do some crazy stuff, have some house parties with your mum and dad there?
You know what? No. Because I actually tried to get the freshest experience, but it's just not the same when you're not living there.
Mm.
Because so much of it is in the halls. By the time they get on the night out, they're kind of, you're coming from a totally different energy. If you just had a dinner, you've had fajitas with your parents and they've been pre-drinking for 6 hours in the halls. It never works.
Do you regret that? Did you miss out, do you think? Would you like to, if you had your time again?
Yeah, I did miss out. I don't know why I chose to do that. I think, well, it's because it was linked to a kind of the job I had, but it was, I don't know why. My mate went to Cardiff Uni and I visited him regularly and I loved it. And actually, I probably had more mates at that uni than I did at my own uni. And then my other pal was in Sheffield. And so that was 2008. That's when the Arctic Monkeys are taking off. And that's a great place to go and visit.
Yes. I mean, Sheffield in the noughties has got Liverpool in the 60s vibes, hasn't it?
Totally. It was dead exciting to go up there. It was wicked, actually. Great time.
So you lived with your parents when you were a student.
Yeah.
And we could see a couple of the things you bought. 13th of October 2008, Skills for Success, the Personal Development Planning Handbook. Was that part of your degree or was that part of your personality flaw?
I think that must have been, surely to God, that must have been part of the course. And then, I think what I learned was I could scrape by just on, remember, like Google Books?
Oh, yeah.
I think I bought a few books. I thought, this is costing me a fortune. I mean, I got the loans or whatever.
Yeah, but still.
Then I think I learned that you could get some quotes just off Google. So I think this might have been one of the only books I'd bought.
Can you imagine doing your A-levels with the opportunity to just type in anything you need into Google? I mean, like, it's all there. I mean, what a doddle. It's got to be a doddle.
Yeah, but even at that stage, I think you're so lazy at that point.
Yeah.
You'd rather somebody just tell me, just tell it me. Do you know what I mean? But that's part of But the, so the bit at uni is that, so that first and that book, they're teaching you how to learn and how to be a student. I'm thinking, let's just get into it. Mm. I'm paying for the course. Yeah. Let's get into the
facts,
the main bit. Do you know what I mean? Don't tell me how to make notes and do a revision timetable. Tell me the stuff I'm paying for.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like, you know, if you're doing personal fitness or whatever, someone telling you how to tie your shoelaces up and how to put, you know, like a gym sock on. I've got this, guys. I'm in my uniform. I'm in my kit.
Yeah.
Let's just get into it, as they say on the YouTubes.
Yeah, totally. I've got to university. Surely I'm a standard where I know how to study. Surely.
Surely.
Just tell me what I need to know. But what you realise is most courses, and particularly the course I was doing, it's just they're constantly rejigging the course. Yeah. The lecturers, they're all studying as well. I'm thinking, what are you studying?
I remember like that.
My lecturers were also doing stuff. What else is there to learn about this thing?
It shows you how spoiled we were as kids at school, because at kids at school, the teachers are there, no matter how good or bad the teachers are, they're there for you. And you go to uni and you are a really annoying burden for all the academics who happen to teach. I loved that.
Yeah, totally, totally. Also, I think, what a terrible attitude that is. Like, what, you know, they're wanting to better themselves again, and it's annoying me.
Yes, exactly. It was like a series of dads with other families.
Yeah.
And you're like, but can you help me with my degree? I thought that's what this whole relationship, it's a completely different relationship dynamic. The whole, you know, you're no longer a client.
Yeah. You kind of thought, oh, I thought this was the end of the learning. Mm. I thought I did college. I was like, I had enough of that, really. I had enough at school, really. And then come to uni. Mm. I think surely after this 3 years, that's me done now. I don't have to. And then you find out these people, there's more. For God, it just keeps coming at you.
I honestly don't know what I learnt at uni. Like, I honestly can't. I can think of a series of things, factual things that I learnt at school. But when I think about uni, I just think I learnt a lot about what to do when your metro breaks down, because my car used to break down quite a lot.
Yeah.
I learnt a lot about how to try and dress less like a sad Tory Morrissey fan, which is what I was when I was a teenager. Like, I improved, my social skills improved immeasurably, but in terms of academically, I honestly, mate, I don't think I learned a thing.
Yeah, that's what it is, I think. Unless you're doing something which is like clinical or like hands-on, mm. like a nursing or, you know, medicine, everything else is just getting a score and having a bit of a laugh and spunking your student loan away.
Yeah, yeah.
The mate I was on about, who went to Sheffield, is the first thing he purchased with his student loan was a £120 pair of leather chaps for a fancy dress costume. I mean, it's how you weigh your budget, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to spend most of this government money on leather. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, but it doesn't depreciate in value, leather. It's probably quite a good investment, actually.
It's better than Bitcoin. Just cow skin.
We like to listen to Toast. We're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
15th of August 2009, you've got 101 great youth soccer drills, skills and drills for better fundamental play. Tell us about this.
Oh, so that was, so I started volunteering. I coached a kids football team for about 4 years.
Nice.
And that probably the summer, that is, isn't it, August? So
yeah.
That's probably the start of it. So probably getting some ideas. And then I probably read that book, and then I probably tried to implement it on actual six-year-olds and just realised it's just like not applicable. They just want to wrestle and do handstands and twizzle daisies, which is also fine. And I let them do it, I think.
Absolutely.
And then, so I coached like the kids team in the town where I lived, and it was great. You know, I worked for the summer in like inner city Birmingham doing it.
Oh yeah.
And that was a completely different set of challenges.
Yes, go on, tell us.
Well, I think they knew they could all beat me up if they wanted to. and you just lose all authority. Do you know what I mean? And I think they could tell I wasn't like a city lad or whatever. But it was great experience, and you know, nice kids and whatever. So I think that's what that book is. It was me trying to get some understanding of how to teach football to kids. Whereas actually, you're not going to worry too much. You just got to let them get on with it a bit and have a good time.
And they are.
And make them feel good.
Well, that's it. When they're 6 years old as well, probably once every 5 years you're going to get a little Maradona coming through. But basically, my six-year-old, they're just shit. They're shit at it. They're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to get some magical stuff where they start dribbling in between the cones. They're going to wear the cone as a hat.
Totally. And actually, I think it'd be... So I've got a little lad now. He's 5 months. If I take him football for the first time and he's really good, I'm going to be like, oh, fucking hell. This is it then.
Yeah.
Taking him to Blackburn on a Tuesday night for the next 10 years. just be average, please. Just be good enough that it's not... You get asked to do it. Don't be so good that it becomes something with all the whole family's got to be based around it, please. Settle into the middle of the pack.
That's right. And in life as well, take that lesson into everything in life. This is why sport teaches us everything. If you're average at sport, just be fine at life as well. I've got exactly this situation. So my eldest is 9 years old, right? And there was a moment when he was in reception and he was six and one of the teachers went, he's got it. And I was like, oh, no. No. I don't want him to have it. And he's really, really good. But luckily, he's not that good.
Yeah.
It's fine. He's not going to be a pro.
Oh, what a relief.
What a relief. I've got mates who've got kids at academies.
Yeah.
And they are... You think it's hard being on the road as a comic.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine all that boredom, but with an irritating child next to you who thinks he is going to be David Beckham.
It's to be at like... a grassroots club level, sometimes you might score sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a great feeling. And you're not spoiled because you're not doing it every week.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Yeah. Totally.
Honestly, honestly, that's the aim. That's the best place to be.
Please tell me you're already saying this to your 5-month-old now, just whispering it into his ear.
Yeah, I'm drumming it into him. I'm living my dreams through him, which is my dream is to be an average local team player.
That's great. That whole image of the vicarious pushy dad, except when he's in, you know, he's been substituted for the second half and you're like, yes, get in.
he's blasting the ball into that. Rein it in. Do less.
But that's where the happiness lies. That's the sweet spot.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I love it.
That's where your mates are going to be.
Yes. Are you a footballer? Were you good at football?
Yeah, I'm quite good, but quite a good player, but not to the point where it's this is the lad. This is the great white hope. You know, it's like, and I was good teammate, very good teammate, very selfless.
Right.
I was quite good. If the team, if we lost 4-1, I'd always score the one. And the parents would be like, in the face of a crushing defeat, I'd always come out quite well. Like the whole team would be getting told off, apart from, you know, Josh kept going. I think that's quite a good, not a bad trait to have.
Again, sweet spot. Taking a little glimmer of hope from an absolute catastrophe. That again, these are all good British traits, mate.
You know, do enough to not get a bollocking.
Yes. Oh, so good. This is really helpful.
Just don't be the worst.
Yes.
Just be better than one person in the team.
I mean, we've talked about degrees earlier on. I believe you and I, Josh, could build a degree course around these principles.
Look, all these books about leadership and how to...
Yeah.
You need to learn how to follow to be a follower.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a skill to be a good number two. It's such a skill that people can't do, but it's such a you get yourself in some great positions just by being a good number two.
Be more sheeple.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Oh my God, this is exactly where I want to be. I absolutely love middle lane, middle of the road. Listen, mate, I work on Magic FM. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah, totally. But that's perfect, isn't it? Imagine the pressure of doing the absolute breakfast show every morning.
Oh no.
People
not for
tuning
me.
In.
Oh God, people with expectations. I can't be dealing with that. No.
No,
God.
Here's
an interesting thing now, Josh Pugh. As we move on into 2010, right? 3rd of February 2010, you've got the DVD, The Invention of Lying, by Ricky Gervais. And it's fair to say that, and I've seen this activity on social media, Ricky Gervais has become something of a fan of yours. So this must feel quite special to be seeing you buying his DVD as a comedy fan of his back in the day. And now I assume, like, is he the godfather of your new child?
He's not. He came into the fold just after the birth.
Right. Damn it.
And I imagine with his views on religion as well, he wouldn't take kindly to that, actually.
Fair point. Yeah, fair point. But this, it must be amazing.
Oh, it's wicked. Yeah, it's great. It's surreal. But he's a good bloke and, you know, he likes comedy. That's the thing when you... They are our peers, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, it's that's what you have to remember. They are, you know, they're not, they're just men and women like us. That isn't, yes. You know, that's not, that's two different people in this instance. That isn't, you know, but yeah, it's
don't, my God, don't get into that. Don't get into the Ricky Gervais non-binary thing, mate. We will be. I don't have a letterbox big enough for the complaints.
But it's just, you know, they're doing the same job that we're doing.
Yeah.
Just on a different scale. And you've always got that common ground. You can chat about comedy or you can chat about... It's very hard because David Brent is so in our consciousness and subconscious.
Yes.
It's so easy to do Brent at him.
Yes.
You know, like sometimes you're doing conversations with your mates.
Yeah, but also what you're doing so well. Your YouTube videos, Josh, I don't want to blow too much smoke up your ass because there's enough smoke up there, frankly, but they are absolutely fantastic. The video, if you've not seen Josh Pugh on Twitter, then I don't know what you've been doing with your life. It's sad what you've been doing with your life. But the thing that you do on there, the kind of the deadpan stuff and the very low level performances, that is those are Brentisms. So you've basically got this guy who didn't invent that genre, but he's definitely been its biggest champion in the last couple of decades, and now he's a fan. Are you pinching yourself, or are you just kind of going, he's just a bloke, get over it?
No, a bit of both. At the first, it's like, oh God, you know, I remember when you first got in touch, it's like, and then, but very quickly it becomes just very normal. And
how did he first get in touch? Did he like DM you or what?
I think he liked a few things on Twitter. Then he liked a particular video and then he contacted my agent. So I've got the same agent as Sean McLaughlin, who does his supports. So there's a bit of a link there. Yes. So it wasn't a massive jump. We do kind of these, he does these Ricky Gervais and Chums gigs every week or every, you know, me. So it's me, Sean and Ricky. And we do these, go on and do new material. And he could just like, he'll decide, I want to do new material tomorrow. So he just hires out Leicester Square Theatre and fills it in a minute by putting a link out. And then you get to go and do new material at Leicester Square Theatre. So it's immense. It's immense. And that's like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's just great. I mean, I'm just glad of the work, Tom. It's just not a gig to go and do every week. You have been bought
red-handed. 30th of January 2011. You've bought a David Beckham mug for $14.99.
Genuine fan, Tom. genuine Beckham lover. Just love him. Think he's great. Think he's practices free kicks loads and then scored a free kick when we needed him to.
Yeah.
Just love him. Yeah. He's a pretty boy, but tough. You know, secretly tough, I think, Beckham. Just love him.
I'm slightly wrong-footed here, if I'm honest, Josh, because I was getting ready to rib you or work out why you bought it or what kind of lull you thought you were doing. And you've just you've just played the ball straight back to me. It's I like him. I've put him on a mug and now I drink tea from that mug.
Yeah, I wanted to have a Beckham mug. And he's the one person I'd love to meet. If I could meet anybody, I'd meet Beckham.
Well, Josh, you're not going to believe it. Guess who's joining the call now?
It's, he's just... I just think he's wicked. I just think he's great. I mean, he's probably a bad person. He's probably doing this, don't you? You know, you do comedy and stuff and you have these heroes and you get to talk and it's always, oh, my mate's brother's wife works with him and he's a prick or he's touched someone up or he's a shagger. He's like, God, just let me have a hero. So until a hero otherwise, which I'm sure people... Yeah, love him. Love Beckham.
I've only ever heard nice things about him.
And I love drinking out of mugs.
Yeah, I mean, that's two great likes there. Are you a tea man or a coffee man here? What are we doing?
Probably
here?
Generally 50-50 throughout the day.
Sure.
Teas and coffees. I'm flexible, really.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. And do you drink coffee into the afternoon? Does it ever affect your sleep? Because I get scared of coffee. A coffee after 1 p.m., that for me is like, I might as well take an ecstasy tablet.
I think there's something, I think I'm not secretly on beta blockers. I think there's something wrong with me. Caffeine doesn't touch me. I could drink a coffee in bed.
Fuck off.
I could go to walk upstairs with a coffee and it would have no... But then also, when you need a hit, it doesn't... It also doesn't do anything. So it's a two-way thing.
Yeah. That's... I mean, it's a niche but great party trick. Guys, watch this. Everyone come upstairs to my bedroom, then double shot of coffee and then I'll fall asleep.
But it still does have the bowel effect. I'm not immune from that, so...
No, of course.
So, yeah, that's still happening.
Very
so
useful.
Everybody actually now get out, please. Everybody now please get out. I need to, quite quickly.
And then I will fall asleep. Also, I mean, they've missed a trick here. Why this mug doesn't say, blend it like Beckham, I don't know. That's disappointing.
Wow, beautiful stuff.
That's, I'm sad that it doesn't say that.
He's doing all right for money, Beckham. I think he's all right with his marketing team. I mean, I've had the aftershave, I've had the pants, I've had the loungewear. I've had it all.
You've really gone for the full Beckham brand, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's influenced your life, it's fair to say.
I've bought into it fully.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that I think he does a whiskey now as well.
He does Beckham everything, whiskey. Mate. He's like a low-grade, less fascist Donald Trump now. He's branded up everything.
I like the idea of going to like a... Because Scottish people love their whiskey, don't they? They're proper like into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love to go and order a David Beckham, a 2009 vintage David Beckham whiskey.
Somewhere in the Highlands.
Yeah, in the Highlands, yeah.
And if they haven't got it, just go, oh, I'll just have a Bailey's then, don't worry about it. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, have a diet. I've done a few gigs, like these brewery gigs.
Oh, yeah.
And the love taking you on a tour and telling you about the different brews and all this. And all the way around, I'm thinking... He's going to ask me for what I want, and I just want a Diet Coke. And I can feel the anxiety building in me. Like, he's going to ask me in a minute, oh, can I just get a Diet Coke? And you can just see the fact they're so upset. Yeah, that's great, but I just fancy one. You know, you just fancy a Diet Coke. Toast them all, my love, thank God, toast
them. September 2012. I don't know how to tell you this, Josh, but you've bought another David Beckham mug. This is now two David Beckham mugs, 2 years on the bounce.
I can only imagine that I know that the first one, it didn't break, but it faded. The pictures had faded of him.
Right, okay.
Mate, no, it's not that. I'll tell you what it is. What date is it, Tom?
This is September the 28th, 2012.
Yeah, I think I started a new job and I wanted a new mug for my new job.
Right.
So I think I wanted to have a mug in the cupboard, right. David Beckham.
You didn't want to go for like a Sports Direct one or a nice La Cruzet mug. You wanted everyone to know, this is Josh Pugh, this guy's into Beckham.
This is what I like, yeah. But I can't imagine, so I think I would have had one for home then and then one for work. So
wow. So you've got your home Beckham mug and your work Beckham mug.
And I think they've got different haircuts. I think one of them, he's got curtains, and then the other one, he's got a shaved head.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that one's more up to date. What was the job you were starting and what was the reaction like to the Beckham mug?
It was just like an office job. And it didn't really get a big reaction. I think it was obviously, that's what he likes. You know, because it's not wacky enough to be a talking point.
No.
He's also like, he's a very big, well-known person. It's just a bit off.
Mm. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's just a bit off a grown man having a David Beckham mug.
But it's not enough off. You're right. It's not enough off for someone to say, why is David Beckham's face on you? No, they wouldn't say that. They'd raise an eyebrow, which is all you want.
Yeah, totally. Although slight tangent. I'm not sure if you're a football man, Tom, but I once took a picture of Darren Huckabee into my local hairdressers because I wanted the highlight. He had highlights.
Yes. Yeah. So you used Huckabee as a guide hairline.
Yeah, this is what I want you to do to me.
Mine was Jason Donovan. That was the one I always wear. The Jason Donovan curtains in the late 80s. That was what I took into the hairdressers.
The strong look in the curtains. I remember going and tried to get Beckham curtains as well, but my hair was never long enough to do it at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And you must, as a man with you've got a curly mop there, haven't you, going on?
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to need some straightening if you're going to go for the Beckham curtains there. That's going to be work. No one wants to spend time doing that.
No, they didn't want that. It's just like it's one of them hairdressers where everybody gets the same. You get a short back and side and you're out. Whatever you asked for, that's what you're getting.
I honestly just said, can you just cut my hair? Just cut my hair.
Do what you think, do what you feel would work on me.
Empowering people, Josh. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, so take ownership of it. Create creative license.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2nd of December 2012, Josh Pugh. You've spent £48 on a cap holder display case. Can you explain this? This is like a glass box with a cap inside it, but I guess the cap doesn't come with it. It's just a cap holder display case.
That is for my granddad had bought something at an auction, and it was a display case to display it. I can't think. It was some kind of sporting memorabilia.
Right.
It might have been like some boxing gloves or something. Like a pair of football boots, like vintage football boots or something. So something for him to just display it in.
Fine.
I think he had it years ago and he kept it. He'd proudly show people.
Yeah.
It was like football boots. And he'd proudly show people. But I thought, oh, let's, you know, you have to be proud of this thing. It'd be a nice thing to gift him something which could actually display it. But now he just stores both in the cupboard.
What?
He just stores both in the cupboard now.
Generally, as a rule, more display. I got a hole in one in golf, and I want that ball, as a talking ball, I want to stick it preferably in the middle of the hallway. So as people walk into the house, what's that? Oh, that's the hole in one. Like, you should, if you can't use your house as a museum to how amazing you and your life is, then what's the point?
That's exactly it. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to know. Look, you see people talking about uni with their graduation pictures up and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you see, like, I mean, yeah, it is an achievement, but like, I don't know. Just get the gown and cap.
I didn't even bother doing those when I was at uni. I got a gown and cap, but I didn't get an official photo because it was about 40 quid. And everyone gets degrees. Yeah. I want to stick up my golf ball from the hole in one. I want to stick up my signed Jurgen Klopp
100%
program. That's what I want to stick up. And I want to have that conversation. No one needs to have a conversation about my degree, as earlier on in this podcast proved. We don't need that conversation.
No, totally. It's some things that, that no one else has got.
Yeah.
I'll keep a journal every day.
Oh yeah.
And I always keep like the card, you know, if I go to a hotel and I'll keep like the little card, or I go for it, if I have a nice meal or something, I'll keep the restaurants thing.
Right.
And I just have it all in a book, and now and again I've not been doing it for long enough that like I could go back and look and it would prompt. You know, I already remember everything from the amount of time I've kept the journal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is the most humdrum trophies I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
In terms of, you know, a serial killer might grab an ear on the way out of there, or a nail.
Yeah.
What you're doing is taking a card for your scrapbook.
Yeah, totally. Or like a festival wristband, or
yeah.
I used to do it with gig stuff, like gig tickets.
Yeah. Yes. Looking at mine now, mate. Look right in front of me on the desk. Here they are. The Divine Comedy, the 4th of May, 2022. Loved that gig. Can I throw them away? No. Am I going to display them? No. I'm going to leave them on my desk for at least a year.
Yes, totally. But I think I've got some good stuff in there looking back. I think I've got like a Glastonbury paper ticket when you used to get the tickets. And
yes.
I think I've got some good stuff. But it's different because it's affected, you know, you're kind of writing it with a view to one day your kids reading it back, or you reading it back as an old man. So you're making your life so much cooler.
Yes.
Than it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. That's the whole lie that we're always telling, and that our parents told us.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the conspiracy.
That's the world keeps turning. But yeah, I think I've got about eight. I think I've done it for 8 years.
What, the journal?
It's a chore, mate, if I'm being honest. It's a real chore at this point. I'd like to stop, but I can't.
No, you mustn't. Will you put in the journal, did a podcast with Tom Price today? It was weird. Will you put in there? Or
I probably would. I've stopped doing it every day. I've stopped doing it every couple of days now.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean? Some days you're just not doing anything.
You're the first person I've ever met who's trying to wean themselves off journaling. Most people I know are trying to keep more diaries.
Oh, mate, it's doing my head in. I've really tied myself into this thing now. It's honestly, it's.
I mean, have you got it to hand? Have you got the journal in front of you? Could we hear a bit of your journal? Is it nearby, or is it too private? I'll understand if it's too private.
I can get one very quickly.
Yeah, go on, yeah. Yeah, go on.
Let me grab one.
Yeah, lovely.
So I've only got this year, as you see. I kind of...
It's fine.
Once I've finished a year, I kind of put it away. I just pick a day at random.
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's just have it.
I've had quite a good year, Tom. It's quite an embarrassing.
Oh, I don't want anything good or exciting. I want the more humdrum and mundane, the better.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, this is completely at random.
Yeah, good.
Sad news yesterday that after a short battle with cancer, my Uncle Glyn passed away aged 62. So that's a flavour of it.
That is awful. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you.
May he rest in peace. Okay.
Right. Yeah, tired. Tired this morning, but dog seems a bit happier. Nicola, so I don't know. Tired this morning, but the dog seems a bit happier. This is a Saturday, the 29th of January.
Okay.
Tired today, but the dog seems a bit happier. Nicola and the kids are up this weekend, so we spent the day at Debbie and Keith's for a Christmas dinner.
That's lovely.
And that's the whole thing.
And you'll read that and you'll remember it. And that's lovely.
Yeah. Last full day at work today, followed by a night in with Lucinda and Sonny. Lovely stuff.
Oh, yeah, lovely stuff. Lovely. That's so funny. Only today, me and my two best mates from home, there's a thread on WhatsApp, I swear to you this is true, Josh, going on about how much we love the phrase lovely stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Cecily, 19th of February. Emma's 30th birthday. Feels mad that my little sister is 30. I can remember vividly playing as kids. We have a really special bond and I feel very close to her. We went for family meal at the Unicorn. Awful service, but great company. felt inexplicably sad this afternoon. Chris dropped in before his gig with some clothes for Sonny. I stayed over in Leicester after emceeing a late show and watched Kell Brook beat Amir Khan in a grudge match.
Yeah.
That's a real roller coaster that day.
God, I'm emotionally being pulled left, right, and centre because you've got that's beautifully understated your relationship with your sister. And then I'm furious on your behalf for the poor service at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And then I'm going all over the place here. This is amazing, Josh.
Yeah. And then I was really sad in the afternoon for no reason.
Mm, mm.
And then I did a gig and then I watched the boxing.
Mm.
And that was, I should have opened with that stuff and maybe finished with a close bond on the sister stuff, maybe.
Have you thought about doing your journals on stage?
No, I don't think so. I don't think people want to hear about that stuff, do they? It's barely content for this, Tom.
I mean,
let alone a live performance.
I imagine taking something that's barely content on a podcast and doing it on a stage with Ricky Gervais standing in the wings going, what on earth are you doing?
He doesn't even, you know, he's never even met my Uncle Glenn.
No. No.
And he's not going in now, sadly.
No, he won't, as we know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very sad. Very sorry for your loss. All right, fine. 12th of November, 2013, you've bought a poo medium round fresh look. You've bought a fake turd.
That just must be to put around the house.
Yeah.
And try and convince people that there's a poo in there.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look realistic on the picture?
Yeah, looks good, mate. Looks good. It's got some great reviews. I mean, can I read some of the reviews? Do you mind?
Yeah, totally.
JCL says, chewy sweetness. 5 stars. The thickness is what attracted me to this turd. The taste also nice and chewy, which is odd, I'll be honest. But that was July 2020, mid-lockdown, so I assume lockdown madness has really taken grip there.
Yeah.
Carrie Dickinson. Hello, Carrie Dickinson. Very funny. My sister had a turn when she thought her puppy had crapped on the front room floor, which had just been recarpeted. I had to try to keep a straight face. I went over, picked it up and stuffed it in my pocket. I thought she was going to be sick. It's like You've Been Framed, but on Amazon, this, isn't it?
That's absolutely classic stuff, that
it
is.
Really is.
And also, that poo has been in, it's been manufactured for like 7 years at this point.
Mm.
Someone's job is to make that. I always think like that. That's, you know, someone's day-to-day, that is.
This is a weird one. This is a weird review. This is from Gurdeep 1981. Brought me back memories. I love the artist's work. Takes me back to the summer in Italy 4 years ago, reminiscing.
That is...
What? Amazing how a plastic turd can trigger memories, right? That's we'll always have that summer in Milan.
I think where I went wrong with the prank is I didn't have a dog at the time. That's where I think I went wrong with the prank, really. It didn't work. My mum just picked it up straight away. She could see it was plastic, really, and just picked it up. What's this? You've left your plastic poo here, Josh.
The thing to do, if you do live with someone who does get a plastic poo out and stick it on the floor and scares you, right, the revenge thing to do is to do an actual shit that looks identical.
Totally.
And then they go to pick it. Oh, yeah, I know what you've done here. Yeah, yeah, you've used my plastic poo that I bought. Then they go to pick it up, and of course it's an actual shit. I mean, this is a real sort of, this can escalate.
Oh, it's real cloak and dagger stuff. It's kind of, yeah.
12th of November 2013, Josh Pugh, the Will Young original art coaster. This is a tea coaster with Will Young's lovely face on it.
Yeah, so that is part of a... So this is mine. It's a nice story, actually. It's mine and my wife's first Christmas, this is.
Oh, yeah, go on.
And I think I used gifts to invite her to Amsterdam. Will you go? So that was the will in the will you go.
That's lovely.
So I think it worked quite well. I think she managed to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's a bit, you also use it as well. It's functional. Do you know what I mean? It's not getting coffee rings on the furniture. It's,
yeah. It's will you, was the go the poo? Will you go?
I don't think the poo was the, I don't know what the poo was for. I think I just, yeah. But I definitely remember the Will Young coaster. Yeah, this is nice. This is quite a nostalgic. You know, I can see where that lady did the review in Milan was all about. You know, it's kind of it does bring back nice memories. This.
Yeah. See, mate. You see, you don't need your journal. Throw your journal away. Just look at your Amazon purchase history.
Totally.
4th of July, 2014. I Love Ibiza T-shirt, large.
I think I did go to Ibiza that year.
Right.
I can't imagine I would have wore something like that there. That seems off to me.
Are you an Ibiza fan?
I surprisingly did enjoy Ibiza, yeah. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I enjoyed it, yeah. I enjoyed it when I went. I think I went on a boat party as well.
Did you actually?
Yeah, it was good. It was actually good. I was the only one that took fishing rods, which was a bit... knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have bothered with that. But no, it was good. It was really good, actually.
Can you put it down? The fish, you're really scaring the fish. Patreon.com/toasterpod. So look, Josh, what we're going to do now, we're running out of time. Yeah. I am going to bring us bang up to date. We're going to have a look at the last few orders you've made, all right? So we've got, you know, we've got Josh, the student, buying overpriced books. We've got Josh buying DVDs of his heroes, who he's now got to meet thanks to his massive comedy success. And now we have Josh... very much the dad. We see in April 2022, we see Cal Pol, we see baby soothing pacifiers, we see Wag complete wheat free chicken dry dog food, which you really shouldn't feed the kids until they're at least 6 months. But we definitely see a family man here.
It's totally. It's so much so that actually my wife has now got access to my Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So they will apart from dog food aside, they were all her purchases.
I see.
So I mean, I'm happy for them to be bought, but it still feels like a violation that, you know, I'll just wake up to, obviously she's getting up, she breastfeeds, so she's getting up to feed in the night. Yeah. I'll just wake up to emails from Amazon saying, thanks for your order. Like, oh God, what's this now?
I mean,
but you can't moan because it's cow paw, it's for the baby.
It's for the baby, mate. It's you've got to go with it. There's nothing that you can buy for your kid that is questionable. Everything you get is positive. And this is why Amazon has made a fortune out of parents, because we all sit there exhausted, emotionally deranged, scrolling, and we're like, oh, a comfort pillow. I'll buy six. Like, it's what we do.
They've got you over a barrel.
Yeah, because you can't say to your other half, do we really need to buy the Munchkin soft tip infant spoons pack of six? Could we have not have bought two spoons rather than six? You can't pull it apart.
So these spoons aren't even to eat with. These are spoons for him to mess around with now.
Oh, yes.
Before he goes to actual spoons to eat.
Oh.
So they're not even functioning spoons.
They're just dummy spoons.
100%.
Practice spoons.
He would get it. Do you know what I mean? Do we need practice? Like, he would get...
Yeah.
I've never met an adult that can't put a spoon to the mouth. They're just dropping it. Oh God!
Yeah.
he will get it. Do you know what I mean? He will get how to use spoons.
He's gonna work it out. But get Amazon and the powers that be, i.e., Tommy Tippy or Munchkin in this case. They invent a product, and despite humans doing perfectly well for the last however 50,000 years or whatever, we're like, no, he has to have this, or he's never gonna crack spoons.
We've been sucked in there. Oh, but it's not even. Look, is this gonna make it easier for us? That's what that actually what it is.
Yes.
Is this product going to make our experience of helping him do this easier?
Yeah, now you've got it.
That's actually what they're selling, isn't it?
Now it's actually making our lives easier. Listen, Josh, we're going to get to the last item now. This is the most recent item. And I wonder if this is you or your other half, or maybe your child, because someone yesterday, which it was delivered yesterday, has spent £30 on a WWE Women's World Championship toy title belt. Over to you, Josh.
Yeah. So it's a gift. It's a gift from my friend. Do you know Harry Griffin?
No, I don't.
And he's tour manager for Joe Lycett. Okay. And he's 30 at the weekend, and I'm doing some supports for Joe at the weekend.
I see.
And he loves wrestling.
Right.
So I thought I'd do a nice thing and get him a thing, and then, you know, classic lad banter, I thought I'd get him a women's title belt instead.
Oh, I see. Oh, because it's funny that women wrestle. I see. All right, Josh,
it's,
I get it.
Yeah. Oh no, it's more funny that I'm saying that if he could win any belt, it would be the women's title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly toxic, but also quite sweet.
Yeah, at the same time. And you know, Josh, if there's something we've learned about you today, it's that you are incredibly toxic, but quite sweet. And that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's my brand, I think.
Not at all. Josh, you're delightful, and I've absolutely loved this. This has been a lot of fun going through your Amazon purchase history. Do you feel like you've learned anything about yourself? I mean, we talked earlier on about aiming for mediocrity and the happiness of mediocrity, and yet here you are casually mentioning that you're doing tour support for Joe Lycett and your mates the Ricky Gervais. You are anything but mediocre. What do you think you have learned about yourself doing the show today?
I'm more generous than I realised.
Yeah, lots of presents, lots of gifts.
You know, a lot
yeah.
of things were picked out. It's either gifts, personal development stuff. So I think there's something, there's probably something in that. And
okay.
And there's also a lot of, you know, kind of drink-based celebrity purchases.
Yeah.
Like a David Beckham mug and a Will Young coaster. Well, that is just a dream, isn't it? But
putting those two things together as well. Absolute two icons in one tea break.
Just connecting. It's brilliant. Yeah. That, and it's actually been really nice. Because like, as soon as you say the thing, obviously... It takes you right back to I can remember that thing, and it's, even if it's tat, it's not tat because it's a point in your life to look back on.
Yeah. Connecting the dots on this journey that is Josh Pugh, which will continue. And you must trace the journey yourselves. Do follow Josh Pugh on Twitter. I assume you already do. He's very, very funny indeed. So listen, Josh, it only remains for me to say thank you for doing My Mate Bought a Toaster. Keep shopping on Amazon and come back in a couple of years, please.
Will do, Tom. No problem, mate. Thanks very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Josh, you're a superstar. Thank you.
Oh, that was great, Tom. I loved it, mate. Thank you so much, pal.
That's it, folks. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster for another week. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Just do what you can. I know you've all got busy lives, but anything you can do just to say to a stranger. That's my challenge to you. Just go up to a stranger and say, hey, have you heard of the podcast My Mate Bought a Toaster? Good. Despite the host, excellent. That'd be really helpful. And as ever, and this is tedious, souls, any ratings and reviews you can do. It makes a difference to all of the maths and it pushes the podcast to new people. And that's what I'm trying to do so that more people can enjoy it and I can make more. Another great episode next week. I've got Shazia Mirza coming on the podcast. Sorry, I'm indigesting. I've just had some fajitas and I had them a bit too quickly. It's late Tuesday night. I always do this. I put the podcast up last thing Tuesday night while the kids are having bath time downstairs and I can hear noises and screaming downstairs. And I've got indigestion. And I've got to get this podcast up, and I'm still talking to you about my fajitas. Help me. Anyway, no, listen, here's how you can help me. Hop onto your podcast platform, write us a nice review, give us those 5 stars, and that's really it. Thank you so much. If you have got the will and the energy, go to patreon.com/toasterpod, and you can support the show and get access, early access to ad-free episodes. That is obviously always really, really helpful. And if you like golf, I do a golf podcast called Golf Is Ruining My Life, which today was fully interrupted by my dog, Phoebe, my new puppy. I've got a new puppy, and she yapped throughout the podcast. So if you want to hear a man talking about golf and getting cross with a puppy, listen, seriously niche stuff this. So niche, they don't even have a category for it in the podcast's libraries on Apple. That's how niche this is. But angry puppy and golf chat... then check out Golf Is Ruining My Life. In the meantime, I will leave you to continue with your wonderful existences, thanking you in advance for your listening next week to Shazia Mirza on My Mate Bought a Toaster. And once more for the fabulous Josh Pugh. Thank you, Josh, as he leaves this imaginary stage. Off he goes. Top man. I'm quite tired and I've taken quite a lot of cold medicine. Oh, Mama Mate, he bought a toaster. Online shops just like a roller coaster. Oh, don't it feel so fine when you're buying all of the strangest things online, like books, weight sets, and posters. Come on, here, the best of the best of My Mate Bought a Toaster.